Welcome or welcome back to Horse for Horror. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week we're doing kidnapped. Or kidnappings, I guess. Whatever the word is. People kidnapped.
She got kidnapped.
And this is coming out the week before Christmas, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so I hope everyone has a great Christmas and a great New Year's. We're not releasing another episode until January 7th following this. And that's going to be a fun episode, so I hope everyone sticks around and listens.
Is it?
Yeah, dealer's choice. I mean, mine is fun.
I gotta find my choice.
Okay, so. What the fuck is wrong with that door?
Ghosts?
Okay, so I have to give two disclaimers for this case. One, this is a fucking British case, so I'm sure I'm going to pronounce some shit wrong. I'm going to call something different than what it actually is. Apologizing now. And then second, this case discusses child abuse and neglect, so this is your overarching warning. I guess that is three. I am holding up three fingers. Yeah. Good thing this isn't a visual podcast. Yeah, so this is your warning of discussions about child abuse and shitty mothers. So, here we go.
Oh, good.
Tuesday, February 19th, 2008, started out like an average day for 9-year-old Shannon Louise Matthews. She woke up on the top bunk of her bed that she shared with her two-year-old sister and got ready for school. Shannon was really excited for school this day because her class was actually going to be going on a swimming field trip.
Oh?
Yeah.
Did
and they had
do this?
They did, yeah. And she had it planned for weeks.
Oh.
She got dressed in her little school uniform, which included a black sweater, a white t-shirt, and black pants. She chose to wear pink rain boots with fur around the edges because it was, you know, a little rainy that day. And then she grabbed her bag with her swimsuit, striped towel, and headed out into the living room. Shannon and her family are from a small town named Dewsbury in West Yorkshire, England. Prayers, I said all those right.
Dewsbury.
On the edge of this town is an area referred to as Dewsbury Moor, or Moorside, which is where the family's from. And so Dewsbury Moor was actually known as the hub of the heavy wool industry, like a long time ago. During World War II, they produced textile items for things like ropes, blankets, and military uniforms. So, you know, obviously during that time, this place was popping.
Okay.
And they benefited from what seemed like endless job opportunity because the war, you know, was so big and went on for so long. Yeah. But after the war ended, many of these textile mills closed, and by the 70s, only two mills were open. So buses took fewer and fewer people into work, and eventually people were forced to find whatever work they could. And by the 80s, things were grim and criminal, and social issues were prevalent in this area. Many of the children grew up watching their parents struggling with addiction, unemployment rates were high, and as the rest of the entire town of Dewsbury, like, revamped and changed their course, Moorside, again, where Shannon's from, kind of got the reputation of being known as the rough side of town.
You think that maybe, just an idea, if the government helped us out, or we had, like, a right to work, you think maybe addiction would be slightly, like, less?
Yeah, and you think that people wouldn't turn to crime to provide for their families. But what do I know? I'm just
a little
old lady.
I'm not really sure.
It's just an idea that's been studied for many, many years, but what do I know? So Moorside actually had a burglary rate that was double the national average, and the government was forced to step in eventually.
Oh, but not the way we want, right?
Well, so I think they did better than what the U.S. would have done. So They built parks. Homeowners were given grants to kind of help, like, fix their homes and stuff.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, but...
Wow, okay.
It didn't change much because while they were, you know, trying to make the outside look pretty, they weren't providing jobs.
The inside was still dying? Yeah.
Yeah. jobs weren't provided.
It's great that you built a park, but I'm still starving.
And so many people were living on one income in this area, which, you know, is usually minimum wage. And they still struggled to find jobs, let alone keep jobs and pay their bills. And so while the area is, like, pretty, life is still rough for people and living in Dewsbury more.
Yeah.
So there's your little background. By the time Shannon had to leave for school around 8 a.m., her mother, Karen, was awake. And supposedly, the two got into a heated argument. And this isn't unusual.
How old is she? 9?
Shannon is 9, yes.
Why are you arguing with your 9-year-old?
Uh-huh. But apparently this isn't unusual because the night before, Shannon had argued with her mother and her stepfather, whose name is Craig.
About what? Like, what are they arguing about?
Oh, I don't know. But apparently it was enough to make her so mad that Shannon had cussed at Craig and then ran down the road to her Uncle Martin's home to get away from her own. So Martin was Karen's brother, and Shannon was said to be very close with that side of her family. Mm-hmm. And when she arrived at Martin's home, she cried and begged to stay there. But Martin had heard this before, and apparently he didn't want to interfere with family drama, so he asked his 10-year-old daughter to walk Shannon back home.
Okay, Martin.
Martin, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
She's crying.
Also, why is it, like, a thing? Like, is it just, like, if you're inducted into the step-parent Hall of Fame, like, do you just automatically get a card with rules on it that says you have to be, the biggest shithole to the children? Like, is this just a thing?
My stepmom has that card, so that might be a thing.
My stepmom also had that card. Not towards me, but towards my sister. She was terrible towards my sister.
Ugh, step-parents. If anyone listening is a step-parent, please, please be nice to the kids, even if they're not yours, because that's just what good humans should do.
Write in and, like, tell me why you're not, if you're not. Like, what's the thought process? The kid didn't do anything to you. The kid does not choose the sperm.
I need to understand.
Womb, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
A child is a child.
Yeah, no matter what.
Like, maybe you, the adult, should, be an adult. Wow.
So on this walk home, Shannon cried the whole way, and when she got home, she wrote on the marker pen on her wall, quote, I want to live with my dad. So sad.
Where's her dad?
Her parents are divorced. So we'll get into that in like 2 minutes.
Okay.
When Shannon left for school that day, the last words Karen ever said to her was, quote, get out of the house and don't come back.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
She's a terrible mother.
We haven't even scratched the surface.
I understand that your children probably annoy the living shit out of you, but you're an adult.
That's not nice.
Yeah, maybe contain your stupid anger and your impatience. Like, maybe contain it. How old is Karen?
Karen was 23 when she gave birth to Shannon. So whatever 23 plus 9 is, 32.
Old enough. Yeah,
I did it in my mind.
To figure that out. I'm gonna get you a trophy.
I mean, that was like, I think we've talked about this before, but that was the biggest lie when people were like, you know, you're not gonna have a calculator on you all the time. And it's like, motherfucker, I got a computer in my pocket at all times. I have no fear.
Welcome to the digital age.
I can do math in my head.
Well, you know, they did those watches that have calculators on it too, like from way back in the day. So
that
even then,
so
it was
nerdy.
Wrong.
That is nerdy as fuck.
I'm going to get you one. That's your Christmas present.
Calculator
you can take
watch.
It into work, too.
What would I, like, what? 2 plus 2. Let me just confirm. So the weather that day was barely over freezing, and it was, like, slightly raining, which, you know, that seems like a very British thing to me.
What's that in Celsius? Because if we're going to be, like, all British, you got to
do it
in Celsius.
If it's just over freezing, then isn't it like 2 degrees Celsius? Because freezing is 0 degrees, right?
Yeah.
Ah, two things. I'm winning. So Shannon had a 1/2 mile walk to school, which she usually walked with her cousins.
Wait.
What?
It's
no,
British.
Don't ask me that. I can't do that. I cannot do that one. They'll have to figure it out. Once she saw them, she told them what Karen said to her, which again was like nothing new because the relationships like within this family were kind of volatile. And that morning would actually be the very last time that Shannon would walk out of her home, the last time she would ever make that walk to school, and the last time any of her friends would see her, which is very upsetting.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go about Karen, the mommy. So Karen had grown up in Dewsbury and dropped out of school at age 16 and gave birth to her first child at 17. Which, like, let's just stop here. No shame. I think a lot of women that have kids young do the, like, make the right decision, but Karen is not one of them. So Karen stayed a child for a very long time.
And sometimes that happens when you have kids, when you're a kid.
Yeah. Sometimes you just don't grow up. Okay.
Yeah.
By the time she met Shannon's father, Leon, Karen had one child already, the first child. And within months of meeting, Karen was pregnant with Leon and hers first child, a boy. And with the demands of this new family, because they barely fucking knew each other, the relationship became strained, but Karen became pregnant again with Shannon.
Oh my God. Okay, so like three kids in 6 years.
Yeah. At 23, Karen gave birth to her third child, Shannon Matthews.
Okay, so she had no time to actually grow up.
Yeah, none at all. Because
you're getting hormones after hormones after hormones.
Yeah, at 17, you're a child. And you had a child. 23, you're still, I would even still consider you young, a child.
Your hormones are already fucked up, and then you're going to get pregnant after that. Like, you are a basket case.
Yeah, three kids at 23. Jesus Christ, couldn't imagine. So Shannon was actually taken to the home of Karen's parents, June and Gordon, straight from the hospital. It was known that Karen was not coping well with being a mother, and she'd already shown signs of child neglect with her previous two children.
She might have postpartum depression.
Yes, and so that was the next thing is I couldn't find if she was suffering from postpartum, and I think that at this time this wasn't something, you know, early 2000s, I don't think people talk about that.
It's probably undiagnosed, and people, there's still like a stigma to it, even though it's not very something much. She can control. I bet you.
Yeah, that's what, you know, again, I'm not a psychologist, but I would go on a limb and say she probably had postpartum.
Oh, yeah.
But like you were saying, it was very, like, hush-hush, even, like, 10 years ago. Like, no, don't talk about depression. Like, we've come so far. I mean, we have further to go, but we've come so far.
Well, and I think that a lot of the cases that deal with, like, mothers killing their children are all, like, have something to do with postpartum or being undiagnosed or, like, that shit can be dangerous.
Something
you're
broke.
Not diagnosing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not something they can control. It's literally, it's a disease.
Uh-huh. So June and Gordon took care of both Shannon and Karen for the first few months of their life. So they, you know, they recognized their kid needed help. And so did their grandchild. And so they tried to help as good, like, as best as they could. But when Shannon and Karen returned home to Leon, Karen did not take care of Shannon in the way that her parents did. So Karen refused to buy diapers and instead used things like towels, curtains, and even plastic bags. She used her child benefit money on cigarettes, beer, and junk food. And when Shannon was two, her father, Leon, left. And he took the son that he and Karen had and moved to a completely different town.
Why didn't he take the girl?
Well, he wanted to take Shannon. But Karen absolutely refused and said that Shannon had to stay with her and that if he didn't leave with the son, then she was going to keep both the kids. So she just, like, put this dude in a rock and a hard place. Just months after Leon left, Karen had... She got into a new relationship and became pregnant once again.
Karen.
And eventually this relationship fails.
Oh, my God.
And the partner took that child with him as well.
Okay, so we have... The first child, we have the son with Leon, we have Shannon, and then we have
another boy.
So we have four children and three men so far.
Yeah, four children, three men, and she has two children. Like 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she has two of them.
Oh my God, your life is chaos.
So the cycle happened again. And by the time Karen moved to Morriside, she had 6 children with 5 uh-huh. different fathers.
No.
And she only had 3 of the children with her, one of whom was Shannon. And I do want to say, like, you know, no fucking shame to having 6 kids with 5 different people.
No, it's
but I think
totally
that shows how, no, I don't want to say neurotic, but how much of a mess Karen really is.
Well, and because it started at 17 and she had no breathing room.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When you go from one person to another person to another person, and then you get pregnant almost immediately when you're with them, like,
yeah, I couldn't imagine.
So chaotic.
Yeah,
if that's like literally your plan and you're very well aware of it and it's something that you're able to cope with, that's fine. But like from 17 on, like, you just have all this, you have so many major life events.
Yeah.
And that already causes stress. So like your life from 17 to 26, so for almost 10 years, you're in a complete chaotic stress.
Yeah. With lots of children. I could not imagine.
Which could only compound your stress.
Yeah. And like we said, probably undiagnosed postpartum and maybe other. I mean, I definitely think other mental things that weren't addressed.
Totally possible, yeah.
Yeah. So when Karen met Craig, who is the stepfather, Karen was 28 years old and Craig was 18, which is still just as disgusting when it's on this side of the wall.
Okay. Well, no, I know some people who are like 15 years apart and still very married.
I think that there's a difference when it's like, hey, I'm 30 and my fiance is 45.
Yeah, so when they're past like that still teenager, yes, not really a young adult phase.
But 18 has the word teen in it, and you have 6 kids, homegirl.
Yeah, can't even drink legally.
That is like you just took on a 7th child. Like, that's what you did.
Yeah, basically.
And what the fuck is an 18-year-old doing with a 28-year-old? Like, what is happening here? How does he look at her and he goes, yes, 6 kids, my bitch. Like, what is wrong with you? Whatever.
You've never seen, like, you don't know, like, the MILF?
Ew!
That's literally, you think that's what he's probably is? Thinking.
Well, hold on, wait. Go to the chat. I have photos. I have photos. She's not a MILF.
Most MILFs are not MILFs.
I would not like to fuck her.
Oh, man.
I told you. We'll post these.
Okay, but for like English standards, you think that's a MILF right there?
No, I do not. I think that's a hard 28.
Well, she smokes all the time. That's,
yeah, and drinks. She's hard 28, bro.
And
not cute.
You know, she's not doing her eyebrows, so I mean,
no self-care is, well, she's got fucking 3 other kids. No self-care is being had. We'll post it and everyone will agree, hard 28, not a MILF. Again, within weeks of meeting each other, Craig moved into the home. And this home...
Weeks,
homegirl. And you have to assume he moved out of his mommy's house and went straight into Karen's house. Like, that's what you have to assume.
Oh, wait, yeah, because he was 18.
Because he's 18, yeah. But the home, like Karen's home, was next door to Craig's sister's house. So, you know, just the whole family's chilling.
So, wait. This is literally an entire porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The MILF Next Door.
Ew, that's disgusting. Ew.
Oh,
The MILF Next Door. Oh, shit. That's a
that's
good title.
That's the title of this episode.
The MILF Next Door.
Can we put that?
Yeah, we'll finagle it in there. Karen soon became pregnant with a 7th child.
Oh my god,
what?
I can't. I cannot handle it. I need anxiety medication right
Luckily,
now.
Luckily, this is the last one. This is the last baby. And that's Shannon's little sister who sleeps on the bottom bunk of the bunk beds.
Okay, well, let's keep in mind, how many kids had she had at this point? 7 in this picture?
Yeah, 7. Oh yeah, in that picture, 7 kids, not 6 kids.
She
7.
All right. For having 7 little babies.
We can only see her face.
Pop out.
You can only see her
face.
Okay,
well, let me
face
see
not cute. Not cute. She's And I don't think she's a Butterface. No, Kayla, don't look it up. Don't look it up. Oh my, you can't look it up because spoilers will show up. Can't look anything up.
Okay, well, show me a full body picture. But either way, like, we're just judging this lady off of her looks. This is so stupid.
This is so horrible.
We're very mean. But
I swear we're feminists.
I think she looks decent for having 7 babies
come out. Oh, here, I'll show you a photo. Let's see what you think about this one.
And honestly, I can't tell you that my face would look near this okay if I had 7 kids in 10 years.
Ew.
I think I would just be drained. Like, the life would drain out of me. You know? She looks like she's still got a little bit going. Like, she looks like she makes lemonade.
Ew, no she doesn't. Look at what I just put in there.
I can't see it. Oh, she's a ginger.
Yeah.
She looks like...
Which is very British.
She could look kind of like...
A Weasley?
Yeah.
Only because she's a ginger, though. No, the Weasleys do not look that rough.
No. She looks like the Weasleys after Voldemort got to them.
Yeah.
No. She has... I don't think she looks that bad. I don't know that she's MILF material, but she...
She's not MILF material.
I think that... If she stopped smoking, stopped drinking, and, like, took care of her face.
Dude, if I look like that at fucking 28, nah.
I guarantee. Oh, that's 28?
Yeah.
Oh.
She met Craig when she was 28, and, well, I guess it's probably, like, 29, 30. I could not.
No. She was in her 30s. Because remember, Shannon was 9.
If I look like that at 31, still, oh my god, my retinol did not work. So Karen and Craig were very close with Craig's family because Karen's family actually cared that she was a shitty mother. So Karen's sister, Julie, had zero time for Karen's bullshit and worried constantly about the children. Over the years, they had countless arguments with Karen about her shitty parenting, and they would give money to kind of, like, you know, help the kids.
That is enabling her.
Well, yeah, because she took it all and spent it on beer and cigarettes. I just feel bad because her family kind of talked about her, like, they thought that, you know, they thought they would get through to her, they'd give her money, and then she just immediately go buy beer and cigarettes. And they're like, what the fuck, lady? So Karen's family, neighbors, and the school that the kids went to called social services numerous times. And in late 2002, Shannon and her siblings were placed on, like, what they call a high-risk register. I'm sure we have, like, something similar, but, you know. Yeah. Social workers were concerned because Karen and Craig would leave the children alone all night sometimes. And they also know that there was serious alcohol abuse going on in the home. So they're obviously like, oh, shit. I don't know, because 1 year later, the children were taken off the register.
What?
Yeah. So.
What?
While they were on the high-risk register, apparently they had, like, meetings. What is it called? Like, home evaluations.
Yeah.
Every so often. But Karen would be able to put up a front of, like, oh, I'm taking care of my kids. They shouldn't be on this high-risk register. Because the social workers always called ahead.
Yeah, it should be
unannounced, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And according to June, who, again, is Karen's mother, quote, I always knew when social services were due because Karen would ask to borrow money from me. When I asked what it was for, she would say, I have to buy food to fill the cupboards. The social worker is coming. It is the only time she filled the cupboards with proper food, end quote.
And so, June, question for you, why'd you give her the money?
Yeah.
Because social services would take the kids and give them to, like, the nearest living relative, which would be you, June.
Yeah, I don't know how their system works over there, but I know that this bitch was finagling it.
So why, okay, well, no offense, this is going to sound really judgy, but, like, June is 100%, at 50% at fault here.
Yeah,
Not necessarily for the kidnapping or anything, but, like, the fact that they got taken off the register when they probably should have stayed.
Oh, yeah, when they should have been taken away.
Girl, you shouldn't have given her money, whether she's your daughter or not. You should think about the children.
I agree with that, yeah. Shannon's teachers also worried for the children. Shannon's teachers notified social services numerous times again. And even after the children were taken off the register, her teachers still called because they noticed that, like, Shannon and her siblings would have dirt just caked on their body and their feet, and their clothing was never washed.
Oh my God, what is she doing all day?
Yeah, and until 6 months prior to, like, when she was kidnapped, Shannon would have regular visits with her father, and she loved spending time over there. He actually remarried, and Shannon was said to have gotten along with, you know, the stepmom great, loved it over there. But Karen and Leon had a falling out of some sort, and so Karen refused to let Shannon go over there or even Leon come over. So, Mother of the Year award.
She's got some control issues.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's probably about money. And Leon said, no, I'm not going to enable you. And so she said, you're not going to see your kid again. All right, so back to the day that Shannon goes missing. So the field trip was scheduled to end around 3:15. And when Sharon did not arrive home around 4, you know, because she has... Yeah, did I say that?
You said Sharon.
Oh, so, yeah, Shannon.
Whoops. Like, who's Sharon?
Sorry, yeah, Shannon. Did not arrive home around 4. Karen was... frantic.
I'll bet.
So frantic that she began knocking on neighbors' doors and asking if anyone had seen her. And then she decided she needed to take her mind off things, so she went to the shops with Craig's sister, thinking that Shannon would be home by the time they got home. And I think shops is probably like the mall or whatever.
Yeah, or like outlet stores or something.
A British
thing. Okay, so... for someone who's so inattentive as a mother, by 4:15, like, you've been looking at the clock, ma'am.
Yeah.
I feel like you know something.
Let's just keep going.
I wonder if I'm right.
Go ahead. But alas, when they got home, Shannon was not there.
Sounds like an alibi.
And by this time, it was around 7 p.m., and it was very cold because it's, like, fucking February in,
yeah, you know, and it's dark
England
outside.
Or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so she called 999, which is, you know, obviously British 911. So Karen tells 999 that her baby didn't come home, and investigators immediately sprang into action.
Your baby? Your baby
her,
now?
Her baby. Okay. By 7:15, the police were at Karen's door.
Oh my God, that's quick.
Yeah, so Craig and the other children answered the door because Karen was actually out searching for Shannon. And in one of the documentaries I watched, the police made sure to mention how filthy this home was. Shoes, trash, and clothes were scattered around, and takeout containers were, like, piled up on the kitchen countertops.
Oh my God.
The house had little ventilation as well, so it just smelled of cigarettes because they just, you know, smoked in there all day.
Oh my God, I hate that.
So shortly after the police arrived, Karen came home and was visibly upset. But she sat down and she answered all of the officers' questions. They asked Karen if there was any reason why Shannon would run away, and Karen explained that her brother, who lived at Leon's house, had just gotten a new computer and she was jealous and angry about it.
What?
And Karen kept saying, quote, I just know she's out there, over and over again.
I bet you know exactly where she is.
So family members and neighbors obviously started arriving at the house, like, what the fuck? There's, like, all these cops at this home. What is going on? Mm-hmm. And soon people from all over were searching for Shannon. The police even went to Leon's home, like, in a neighboring town, thinking she might have gone there. But she hadn't, and this is the first that Leon learned of his daughter missing, and he was, absolutely distraught.
So she didn't even call him?
Nope. And Leon immediately joined the search.
And if you're really that worried about your daughter, your new baby...
You would fucking call.
You would call him, yeah.
Yeah,
that
like,
would
yo.
Be, like, one of the first people that you call, even if you guys are not on speaking terms, because that's his daughter.
And if you haven't allowed her to see her dad for 6 months, I would make the assessment that she would run away to her father's first.
Oh, yeah.
If she ran away. Okay. So everyone started to retrace Shannon's steps, like, after she came home from school, or, like, the walk she should have taken, you know? Mm-hmm. So they searched the nearby fields and woods. They searched, like, the gutters, the drain pipes, and all this shit. Calling out Shannon's name, but she was nowhere to be found. And by the early hours of Wednesday, so she disappeared on Tuesday, the next day, searchers had checked and rechecked every single place, still couldn't find her. And the reality of the situation was starting to set in, that if Shannon had run away and was outside, there's a high chance that she would suffer from hypothermia. And if she wasn't outside, then she was abducted.
Yeah.
And so that day, the police began to consider that this wasn't a runaway case and was an abduction case. And the major inquiry and homicide teams were actually called in to assist.
Okay, good. That's quick police work.
Mm-hmm. They weren't fucking around. They knocked on every single door in the area asking if anyone had seen Shannon or anything suspicious. The nearby town of Wakefield actually held the district's police academy, and they closed the doors and forced every cadet to join the search for Shannon. Nice. So this is like a huge deal. That afternoon, an emergency press conference was held by the chief superintendent, Barry South, who was obviously the police commander of the area. It had been nearly 24 hours since anyone had seen Shannon, and everyone was frantic. So this press conference was fucking packed. They were basically sitting on top of each other, standing in front of each other. And this is only 9 months since the Madeline McCann case. Which, okay. That's the beautiful girl who went missing while on holiday in Portugal. Mm-hmm. And so this is obviously like fresh in everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. And like, if you don't know the Madeline McCann case, like, welcome to true crime, you know, kind of thing. Like, that's a big one.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying that right. Madeline McCann.
McCann, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a documentary on Netflix about it.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I don't actually know the outcome of that.
I think she's still missing. Like, I don't think anyone knows anything. But the police have a confirmation because they confirm that their number one priority was to find Shannon and that every available resource was going to be used.
Nice.
And he reiterated the statistic that everyone knows, and that is 96% of abducted children are killed within the first 24 hours of being kidnapped.
Yep.
And so by the time this press conference was called, the day after Shannon was missing, over 200 officers were searching, with 800 homes having already been searched, and this number would grow to over 3,000.
Oh my God.
Also, I didn't know this, but apparently the UK only has 27 victim recovery dogs, and 16 of them were used to search for Shannon.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Take notes.
Uh-huh. US, take notes. And so also at this press conference, Karen addressed the media. You know, we were talking about her looks earlier, but she didn't look any better. Probably because her kid's missing. She hasn't eaten. Probably hasn't slept. She's worried sick about her baby. Mm-hmm. And she said, quote, "Shannon, if you're out there, please, darling, come home. We love you so much. Me and your dad, your brothers, your sisters, everybody loves you. Your dad is missing you so much, Shannon, he's even looking for you. Please come home, Shannon. If you're out there, please come home."
How is she going to see this, Karen?
Well, I think it's weird to say your dad's even searching for you. What? I would hope he fucking is.
Yeah, that was weird.
And it's worth noting that, you know, there's no right way to grieve, but Karen didn't shed a single tear at this press conference.
Yeah, well.
No right way, you know? But people were like, weird.
Just her statements are kind of weird. They're odd.
I think that's a good one.
Not that really means anything at all.
Yeah.
But what makes me, like, turn suspicion on her is that she has not cared for this child at all, it seems.
Yeah.
And, you know, she just puts up facades. We've already seen that. And now all of a sudden this child is her baby and she didn't come home by 4:15, so I'm worried sick. And then you also didn't tell the cops that you told her to get out and never come home, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, wouldn't you feel like telling that part, Karen? But anyway, okay.
Convenient.
So people in the surrounding communities also did their part. Thousands of people searched daily wearing t-shirts with Shannon's face on it and the number to call if they had any information. They hung up missing persons posters all over the place, and the Sun even put up a £20,000 reward for Shannon's safe return. Mm-hmm. And eventually this reward was brought up to $50,000 by the local businesses and newspapers pitching in. And, I mean, this case obviously drew a lot of attention because Shannon is, like, an adorable missing white girl from a community. And missing white girls that are cute, they just get more attention.
Yeah.
It's horrible, but this is how it is.
Yeah.
And they searched and searched and searched and still no Shannon. And so, obviously, people felt really sorry for Karen. Her daughter was missing, and she appeared to be, you know, kind of distraught. Mm-hmm. But people also thought that some things were a little off with the way she was acting. And one of those was a journalist who was interviewing her, and he couldn't shake the feeling that Karen was acting really weird for a mother whose child had gone missing. The journalist asked, during the interview, Shannon's face appeared on a TV screen, and without emotion, Karen said, quote, "Oh, there's Shannon. She's famous."
Oh.
And the journalist said, "She's not famous. She's missing. And not to be the bearer of bad news, but, like, probably a victim of something horrible." And Karen said, Neighbors also noticed this strange behavior. When the cameras were around, Karen was so sad, sobbing and throwing huge fits, like sitting on the ground. But when they weren't around, she was okay.
She's putting up a facade.
Well, at one point, she went to the pub, and ate fish and chips.
You gotta eat.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, the cashier was like, "Oh, like, you don't have to pay, don't worry about it." Probably because they were like, she's going through something tragic.
Yeah, yeah.
Just leave her alone.
The first meal she's eaten, like, let her have it.
Well, Karen then made a joke about how her children should go missing more often, and then she could afford to eat out every night.
Is that funny, Karen?
And everyone kind of chalked all of this up to nerves, and they just, like, looked past the behavior. Because, again, no right or wrong way to grieve.
Yeah, like, you're not going through that. You have no idea what's going on in her head. Plus, she has, like, addictions.
Yeah.
She's already got problems. We know that. And her life has been a complete chaos bomb.
But still, a little weird. So, a week went by, and the police and the community are still searching. Then 2 weeks goes by. And so, if you remember, like we just discussed, Madeline had just gone missing 9 months earlier.
Yeah.
And so, that case obviously got, like, international fucking attention. And tons of people all over the world donated to Madeline's fund. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this fund had so much fucking money in it that Shannon's family actually reached out to the members in charge of that fund asking if they would be willing to donate money.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't think that's an unreasonable ask. Like,
no.
You know, it's been nine months. Yeah.
And this girl is missing for a couple of days.
Yeah. And, you know, Madeline's family is like, "We don't want anyone to get upset. Like, let me help you."
Yeah.
And, like, Shannon's case got media attention, but not like Madeline's, which would say is probably classism, because if you remember, the McCanns were very fucking rich. They were, I think they were both doctors, and they were all good looking. And, you know, the Matthews weren't. Like, Karen is a hard 31, and she had 7 children with 5 different fathers. Yeah. So when the media looks at her, they don't look at her in the same way as they do the McCanns.
Yeah.
And, like, again, it's nobody's fucking business how many fathers that she has, like, how many dads. But, like, you can't judge her for that, but we can judge her for being a shitty mom.
Oh, yeah, she was a shitty mom.
Because she is a shitty mom.
I think that she needs help.
So, nearly 3 weeks goes by, and the police decide to hold another press conference. And Karen was center stage. She made a couple of statements asking for whoever had Shannon to return her. Then she took some questions and speculated that Shannon was probably with someone that she knew, and that person probably knew her, Karen, as well. Just a feeling, you know? So, like, nobody goes searching any of the family members. That's just a feeling that Karen has.
Are you a psychic now?
Later that day, a journalist who was supposed to go to the home to meet Karen for an interview, but when he got there, nobody was home. And the door was slightly open, so he entered and started to look around, and then all of a sudden, Karen jumps out from behind the door and starts tickling him and laughing, which is not weird at all for a mother who's about to do, you know, another interview for her missing child.
Take out the missing child part and the, like, the whole reason why he's there, a stranger to you.
You tickle
him. Walks into your home and you tickle him.
I know, it's so weird.
Okay.
It's just weird. Yeah. So while Karen is busy tickling reporters, investigators are, you know, working their asses off, and they finally get a break.
Oh, good.
They learned that Shannon and Craig had neglected to tell them about an uncle named Michael of Craig's.
Okay.
Which is really funny because they gave a super detailed family tree. And the police had spoken to everyone related or close to the family, but not Michael. And then, even weirder, is that Michael lived super close to the family, like doors down.
Oh my God.
But Karen must have just forgotten him. And so, as police looked into Michael, they realized that not only had he been off the list, he had also never attended any vigils, searches, or fundraisers for Shannon, which is weird as fuck because everybody was showing up to those.
Right.
Huh. And don't let this sway you, but just a year earlier, Michael had been arrested for kidnapping his very own daughter. And that case was eventually dropped, but you know, don't let that sway you.
Well, but I'd have to know the details of that case. Because if you're kidnapping your own child to get him away, get the child away from the other parent who's kind of a shitbag, nah.
Kidnapped a kid, you know. Okay, yeah.
Nah.
So on March 24, 2008, 24 days after Shannon was reported missing, investigators decided to visit Michael. And when they knocked on the door, no one answered. So they started talking to neighbors, and the neighbors were like, that's really weird because that's Michael's car right over there in the driveway. And another neighbor was like, yeah, he should be home. And I'm not sure if this is relevant, but I've heard the footsteps of a child at his place lately. And all of his kids are grown up, so it's not them. But he's been seeing a new lady friend, and I assumed it was her kid. But not sure if that's relevant.
Not sure, huh?
And investigators were like, that's relevant as fuck. And so they ran, took off and they ran back to Michael's. They busted down the door and they began searching the place.
Yeah.
They came to a locked door in the back of the house and boom, they opened it.
Okay.
But when they went in, it was empty besides one bed in the middle of the room. Okay, and so reports call this a divan bed. Which is basically like the kind of bed that has storage underneath. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. And while they're like searching around, they come up to the bed and then they hear the muffled sounds of a child crying. They hear a little girl say, quote, stop it, you're frightening me. And these sounds are coming from within the bed.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, little Shannon crawls out from within the bed.
What?
An officer grabs her and whisks her away to safety, and they ask her where Michael is. And Shannon said, he's where I was. He's under the bed.
Oh my God.
So the officers looked down, and they found Michael curled up in the fetal position, hiding from the officers. He was surrounded by 600 pounds, which is like their money, you know, not weights.
Yeah.
Insomnia medicine, travel sickness medication, and the copy of the Sun newspaper announcing the $50,000 reward for Shannon's return.
Okay.
So the cops were like, hey, you wanker, because I assume that's what they call all people. We see you, come out. But Michael didn't want to come out. And apparently he was a super big pain in the ass, which is just stupid because, like, everyone sees you. We have our guns pointed at you, come out. And yeah. When they got him out, he tried to break his cuffs. And when that didn't work, he tried to kick his way to freedom. And when that didn't work, he dropped to his knees and forced the cops to carry him out.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So Shannon is found. Yay. Good news.
Okay, good. And she's fine?
And she's fine, yeah.
Oh.
Well, we'll learn a little bit more. But yeah, she's fine for the most part.
Okay.
And so meanwhile, investigators searched the home and they found a leash tied to a beam in the ceiling. And when Michael would want to leave the house, he would tie Shannon to it. And it gave her just enough room to reach the bathroom and the bed.
Okay.
They also found handwritten instructions for Shannon, like, don't make too much noise, don't go near the windows, you can watch TV and play video games, but the volume has to be kept really low.
Okay.
They also found two packed bags, which, you know, when coupled with travel medication, the sleep medication, and all the money, they assumed that Michael was preparing to leave with Shannon.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's like really, really close, it's like really, really scary how close they come to not saving Shannon. But, you know, the bottom line was Shannon was found and she was safe.
Okay, good.
People were celebrating in the streets. Parties were thrown. She'd been missing for 24 days. It's a literal miracle that they found her. Shannon's dad was over the moon saying he felt like he won the lottery. And then when the media came out to see Karen and Shannon's, like, being reunited, Shannon appeared to be devastated. Like, I don't really know how else to say her face. In fact, she looked so sad that one of her friends, who was watching the TV from, like, the next door home, screamed. Oh, wait, hold on. Screamed for her to smile, which was caught on TV. She then turned back to her friends, like where they yelled it from, turned back and gave the slightest smile, and then continued on.
Okay.
And then immediately, you know, after this, they're reunited. Karen and Craig were whisked off to the police station to be questioned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when the police told Karen that she wouldn't be able to see or hold Shannon again because they needed to preserve forensic evidence, Karen was cool with it. She didn't care. She didn't need to see her daughter, be close to her daughter, didn't care. She watched her daughter, who again has been missing for 24 days, through the two-way glass, and all she said was, quote, she's got new clothes.
Okay.
The police kept Shannon and Craig for as long as they could, but obviously they had to release them because they have no charges, but they're obviously, like, the number one persons of interest now, along with that Michael guy, obviously. And so, here we go. Meanwhile, Michael had lawyered up and made a statement to the police. In this statement, he claimed that the whole kidnapping scheme had been created by Shannon's own mother, Karen.
Believable.
Karen had approached Michael and said, hey, here's an idea. Basically, you fucking take my daughter, I'll pretend she's missing, and we'll cash in on that sweet, sweet reward money.
Okay.
And then Karen said, if you don't go along with this scheme, I'll send 3 dudes to kill you.
What?
Which, I don't really know.
Who do you know?
I don't know if that part is true. But I definitely think that Karen, like, came up with this whole idea.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, obviously, if she threatens to kill him with 3 dudes, like, Michael had to do it. He was the good guy in all of this, right? Yeah. He didn't hurt her.
He actually took care of her better than her own mother.
Yeah.
Even though he kind of treated her like a dog.
Yeah. Still horrible. You still...
Yes, absolutely.
Kidnapped a kid. But he did treat her better than the mom.
He didn't actually kidnap her, though. Her mom gave her away.
Yeah. Whatever. That is still a kidnapped child if you're housing it in your home. He told the police that the original plan was to wait for the reward to reach 50,000 And then they would figure out a way to them find Shannon, and then they would split the reward money. So Michael planned to drop Shannon off at the Dewsbury Market, drive around the corner, and then in full view of the surveillance video, be like, oh my God, I found her. Get the reward money, split it with Karen. But obviously he was like arrested. So in short, it's a money-making scheme carried out by two ridiculously stupid people. Oh, and fun rumor, Karen and Michael are banging, which I think makes a lot of sense.
What? No shit, are they?
Yeah, they were, yeah. And then, like, 2 seconds later, because this case, like, can't get any worse, Craig, who's the stepfather, was arrested.
Wait. What does Craig have to do with it? Did Craig know anything?
He didn't know anything. So what do you think he was arrested for?
What do I think Craig was arrested for?
Yeah. Child sexual abuse material. Also known as child pornography, but I don't think it should be called child pornography because that insinuates the child is consenting and they can't. So it's videos of children being sexually abused. Craig.
That makes sense, though. Yeah. Craig.
And apparently investigators discovered it when they were searching for Shannon and were like, oh my fucking God, this just gets worse and worse here.
Yeah, and the fact that Child Protective Services didn't fucking find this material and take these kids away.
Yep.
Okay, so it all makes sense now why Craig, an 18-year-old, is with this lady.
He's a monster.
Yeah, because she's got plenty of kids, and he has full access to them.
And yeah, I couldn't find anything on if he abused Karen's kids. You pray that he didn't.
Maybe not, but like, don't you think that maybe he would escalate?
Yeah, definitely would have escalated. And so at this point, only the police know that Michael put the blame on Karen.
Okay.
But like...
So she's still acting.
Yes, and she's still out and about living her life while Michael's in jail. Okay. But, you know, it doesn't take a genius to realize that Karen is, like, a huge fucking sketchball, right?
Sketchball.
She's sketchy.
Yeah.
And so even her own friends were suspicious of her. Her best friends, Natalie and Julie, called the police, and they were like, yo, we think Karen had something to do with this. We can help you crack her.
Yeah.
And so the police gave Natalie and Julie a wire, not Karen's sister, Julie, her friend.
Okay.
A wire and listen in on their conversations. Natalie, Julie, and a community liaison officer. I don't know what the equivalent is in the U.S. is to that. But anyway, that person was there. And Karen all got into the car, and Natalie and Julie immediately looked at Karen and said, look, Karen, there's all these rumors that you were involved with Shannon's disappearance, were you? They just outright said it.
Dang, okay.
And Karen immediately broke down and confessed that she was involved and had come up with the plan to kidnap her own daughter to win the money.
What the heck is wrong with her?
So Karen was obviously, like, immediately arrested. She was charged with kidnapping, false imprisonment, child neglect, and perverting the course of justice, which is a very interesting charge.
Well, it's like our charge of obstruction of justice.
Yeah. I just think perverting is funny.
It's very English.
Craig went on trial for possession of child sexual abuse material, and he was accused of having 49 images on his computer. And found guilty.
So.
And don't worry, he only spent a whopping 20 weeks in prison.
Wow, that makes me feel so good.
For 49 images of child sexual abuse.
Is he on the sexual registry?
I don't know.
What the fuck is that called?
Yeah, like the pervert registry. I don't know if he is.
I don't think it's that.
It's definitely not.
Yes,
that.
The equivalent of that, but what's it actually called?
I don't know. Sex offender registry?
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what their rules are, but in the U.S. he would be.
Yeah.
And in November of 2008, Karen and Michael had a joint trial. Mm-hmm. Obviously because, like, they committed the crime together and they were banging besties, allegedly.
Yeah. Okay. So Michael is the uncle of Craig?
Yes.
Okay. So, ugh.
Yeah, disgusting.
Come on.
And the trial lasted a full 3 weeks, which Michael showed up to with a broken jaw because obviously other inmates don't look too kindly on the inmates that kidnap children.
Fair. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The prosecutor called Karen, quote, a skillful liar and revealed that...
She's not that skillful.
I didn't think she was that good. But he did reveal that everyone had been duped by Karen, even Shannon. And so...
What?
Shannon, on the day she went missing, had accepted a ride home from Michael because she thought he was going to be taking her to a fair. Okay. And he was like, hey, your mom said, like, I can take you, let's go. But what she didn't realize, obviously, is that she was the victim of a fake but real kidnapping by her own worthless mother. Because, like, obviously, Shannon thinks this is real. Like, she literally isn't allowed to go home. She thinks her mother doesn't know where she is. Yeah, so, like, it's real in Shannon's mind.
So she had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
A forensic toxicologist was called to the stand who testified that Shannon had been given medicine used to treat insomnia and travel medicine to help keep her subdued.
Oh my God.
But the toxicologist revealed that she wasn't just given that medication when she was kidnapped. And according to the testing, Shannon had been ingesting those drugs for up to 20 months before she was kidnapped.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
So Karen was drugging her own fucking children.
That's where that money is going?
Yep.
June, oh my God, you should have just taken the kids.
Yeah. So the jury deliberated for 6 hours and found both Karen and Michael guilty of all charges. They were sentenced to only 8 years in prison, which, like, that doesn't... I don't know if that's long enough for kidnapping and drugging your own child.
Mm. Yeah.
In 2012, both Karen and Michael were released. They served only half their sentences, which very different from America.
Yeah.
They were given new identities and released into the public.
What?
Yep.
Are they not allowed to be near children anymore? Like,
I don't know. I couldn't find any updates on Michael, but Karen has been seen in public frequently since her release, and she now lives in, like, this new secret town south of England, but it was revealed last year that she has found love with a pedophile handyman named Paul Hunter, who was jailed for 5 years in 2010 for abusing his former stepdaughter.
I am so over this fucking woman's decisions.
So she's a total cunt till the very end.
Definitely. She is, like, the definition of a cunt.
Yep. Meanwhile, Shannon was also given a new identity. And so I'd read that that Shannon's father, Leon, as well as her step-parents, had applied for custody of her, and they were all denied.
Why?
Yeah, so I don't know why that is.
It seems like she would have had an amazing life with the dad and the new stepmom.
Yeah, or even just with the grandparents.
And everyone's just fucking denying
her. Yeah, I don't know why they denied the family, but they did. So she went to live with foster parents as well as her other brothers and sisters that were in that home.
And I bet you they got split up.
They did get split up.
Wow.
So she never went back to that house. She never went back to school. And she never saw her siblings again until, like, obviously they were older. Shannon stays out of the public eye for the most part, giving very few interviews on the events that happened over those 24 days. And
was she given a new identity?
Yeah, she was, yeah.
Okay, good. I was going to say, why are we giving the criminals new identities and not the victims?
I think all of the siblings were given a new identity. Okay. But, now she's a full-grown adult living under a new name, and, you know, I hope she's out there doing well and living her best life.
Good. Good.
And that is the real but fake kidnapping of Shannon Louise Matthews.
Oh my God.
Isn't that one a roller coaster?
That's crazy.
Because you're like, oh fuck. And then you're like, wait a minute, what?
And for, like, a small moment there, I actually felt bad for the mom.
Yeah, you like, yeah, defend her, small and then you're like, hold moment. On.
Yeah. Like, and I'm trying to, like, humanize her and see, like, where she's coming from, but she's a bitch.
Yeah, and then you figure out she's been drugging her kids, and you're like, just kidding, no.
All of them? Has she been drugging all of them?
I think she's drugging all of them, but we know Shannon because she was tested, but I can't imagine that she would be drugging the 9-year-old and not the others.
Yeah. Okay, well.
So, yeah, there's that lovely case. And again, we are taking the next 2 weeks off mm-hmm. to enjoy Christmas and the new year. Mm-hmm. I hope you all do as well. And then we'll be back in January. But we do have an announcement that's going to come in January. Yep. So stay tuned for that. Some things are going to be changing.
Yeah.
Around the podcast. For the better. For the better.
Yeah. Temporary changes, or like maybe we'll be moving in a new direction. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll just have to figure out what happens when January comes around.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
In 2022.
Yeah, we'll see you next year.
See ya.
Bye.